welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
One thing that we can all agree on is that pain in kids is not good. We need to assess and manage pain carefully to balance the medication side effects with the goal of alleviating pain. And that can be challenging with kids. Particularly, it's hard to evaluate the severity and even the presence sometimes of pain. And then to treat the pain, we have little doses of medicines that often haven't been very carefully studied. In children, I think we would all agree that we assess pain by two methods. If they're old enough, we can ask them, in other words, self-reporting. That doesn't work very well with neonates and very small children. But as you get into older children, sort of, you know, 4 or 5 and above, and certainly teens, that becomes very effective. And then we can use behavioral observation scales in patients who may be unable to perform these self-reporting. Management of pain in kids depends on the type and the source and the severity and perhaps the duration of pain. The WHO, World Health Organization, has defined a two-stage approach to pain management, one for mild pain. And with mild pain, it generally can be treated with acetaminophen, paracetamol, for those outside of the United States, and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Moderate to severe pain, we're not going to talk about today, but it goes up and you begin to use your opioids, the morphines and oxycodones and hydromorphones, et cetera. Children, the preferred non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agent is ibuprofen because it's equally effective to the others. It has fewer adverse side effects than many of the other NSAIDs. I'll remind listeners that not terribly long ago, aspirin was often used, but because of its association with Reye syndrome, it's fallen out of use over the past couple of decades. Acetaminophen has some negatives. It often doesn't provide the same pain relief, and it certainly doesn't have the anti-inflammatory effects that ibuprofen does. So what about for patients where the ibuprofen isn't quite working? Well, Mark found a poem published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal, published at the end of 2017. In the electronic version, it starts on page 1252. And it attempts to answer the question, which is the better oral pain reliever for children with post-operative pain, ibuprofen or morphine? Mark, which is better?
Yeah, it's good to see studies like this because, you know, we're all concerned about use of opiates in children and in adults, obviously. And I think increasingly we're getting some evidence out there that should force us to reassess the sort of underlying assumption that opiates are always a, quote, stronger pain medication. So this study recruited 154 kids. They were age 5 to 17 years. So I think we can, you know, in that age range, there's less concern about the reliability of their assessment, their self-assessment of pain. They were all undergoing an outpatient orthopedic procedure. Usually it was a hardware removal, or it was an open reduction internal fixation of a fracture, or arthroscopy. And they were randomized to get up to 8 doses, 6 hours apart, of one of two things, either 0.5 milligram per kilogram of morphine, or 10 milligrams per kilogram of ibuprofen. They used a double dummy design. No, that's not the podcasters. That's where each patient simultaneously got one active medicine and one placebo. Groups were similar at baseline, and the analysis was by intention to treat. They used the FACES scale, which is a widely used, well-validated 10-point pain scale, and a difference of at least 1 point was felt to be clinically meaningful. So again, last week we've talked about this a little bit. Whenever you have some kind of a point scale, point score, a really important thing to know is how big a difference really matters. So in this case, it's 1 point. Both medications reduce pain by about 1 point at each dose, so clinically significant, but there was no difference between groups. There was a significantly greater risk of adverse events in the morphine group, not surprisingly, nausea, vomiting, drowsiness, and dizziness. The number needed to harm for one additional adverse event was only 3. So bottom line, this was a well-designed, adequately powered study. It found no difference in pain reduction between ibuprofen and oral morphine in kids with postoperative pain. On the other hand, adverse effects were more likely with the morphine.
Fascinating. I mean, it is, as you said, it's important these studies are done, but this flies in the face of all of our beliefs, right? The kids had post-operative pain. They're clearly in pain. And, you know, we don't want to give them ibuprofen. You want to give them something serious for their pain. And now you're telling us that we don't need to give them the morphine, that the side effects and things, we can just give them the ibuprofen.
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, many of us have had experiences where we're given large prescriptions for, you know, oxycodone or hydrocodone following a surgical procedure. And, you know, after taking one dose, switch over to, you know, naproxen immediately and do fine. And, you know, I think we have probably, you know, we've overdone it for a while. I'm not saying don't ever use those medications, obviously. And there are situations where they're completely appropriate. And these were minor surgical procedures. They generally, you know, post-op recovery is relatively rapid. So this doesn't generalize to every single situation. But I think what it does say is we really need to be rethinking our routine use of opiates postoperatively, and we need to give patients options. And, you know, I think a lot of patients nowadays are concerned about opiate use and are quite willing to say, well, I'll put up with a little extra pain. And, you know, in fact, there was a nice article about I think it was an American living in Germany, and it was a little tongue in cheek because she was during a prenatal care, they discussed pain, and they said, oh, you'll get some naproxen. Basically, she's like, no, I'd really like something a lot stronger. They're like, no, you'll just get some naproxen. And it kind of went back and forth, and she ended up being totally fine, and it was a good experience. And she was, you know, her expectations had been knock all the pain out, and it was, you know, it ended up being fine. So it was just an interesting essay.
Right. Times. You know, one last question, Mark. I don't know if you remember, but were the medications both oral? So the morphine, you told us the dose, and the ibuprofen, the dose. But did they give the patients the pills, the ibuprofen pills, and was the morphine, you know, either IV or IM or something, or were they both oral?
They were both oral.
Okay. Very interesting, Mark. Thanks again. We'll talk with you more about pain next week.
Perfect.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.